and chapter 14. The Gospel of John and chapter 14. Most of us get excited about taking a trip. But we really get excited when we take a trip to a place we've never been before. And generally, before we take a trip, we have to make some preparations. One time a man was going on a trip to Rome, but before he left to go to Rome, he felt he needed to get a haircut. Well, while he was at the barber shop, he mentioned the trip to the barber, who responded, "Rome? Why would anyone want to go there? It's crowded and dirty and full of those Italians. You're crazy to go to Rome. So how are you going to get there?" He said, "Oh, I'm taking Alitalia. I got a great rate." "Alitalia," exclaimed the barber, "that's a terrible airline. Their planes are old, their flight attendants are ugly, and they're always late." He says, "Where are you going to be staying at Rome?" The man says, "Well, I'll be at the Downtown International Marriott." "Oh, that's a dump," says the barber. "That's the worst hotel in the city. The rooms are small, the service is terrible, and they're overpriced." "So what you going to do when you get there?" He says, "I'm going to see the Vatican, and I hope to see the Pope." The barber laughs. "Yeah, right, you and a million other people. He's going to look like an ant to you. Boy, good luck in this lousy trip of yours. You're going to need it." Well, after a month goes by, the man again came in for his regular haircut, and the barber asked him about his trip to Rome. He said, "It was wonderful. Not only was I on time in one of Alitalia's brand new planes, but it was overbooked and they bumped me up to first class. The food was wonderful and I had a beautiful 28-year-old stewardess who waited on me hand and foot. The hotel was great too. They just finished a $25 million remodeling job and now it's the finest hotel in the city. And they too were overbooked, so they apologized and gave me the presidential suite at no extra charge." "Well," muttered the barber, "I know you didn't get to see the Pope." He said, "Well, actually, I was quite lucky because as I toured the Vatican, a Swiss guard tapped me on the shoulder and explained that the Pope likes to personally greet some of the visitors. And if I'd be so kind as to step into his private room and wait, the Pope would personally greet me." And sure enough, 5 minutes later, the Pope walked through the door and shook my hand. "Really?" said the barber. "What did he say?" He said, "Hey, where'd you get that lousy haircut?" Well, when we are excited about taking a trip to a place that we've never been, the last thing we want is for someone to put our trip down. But no one could ever put down our trip to heaven because no one has ever been there and returned and told us about this glorious place. Now, the prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Isaiah, along with the apostle Paul and the apostle John, they got a peek at it, but they didn't get to live there and see everything that's there. But thankfully, the Word of God does tell us some things about it. And everything the Word of God tells us about heaven makes us excited about going to our eternal home one day. And the fact is, every born-again believer in Jesus Christ should be excited about heaven today because at any time now, we could take a trip to that glorious place. And let me tell you this morning why I believe that heaven is going to be a blast. Let me tell you why. First of all, because of our perfect body. You know, I can remember as a young person hearing old people talk about how their body was not what it used to be. But now that I'm kind of pushing 60, I know exactly what they were talking about. Between my arthritis and my diabetes and my heart problem and my poor vision, I know exactly what they're talking about. You know, I can remember a time when I was young that I could just jump up out of a chair with no thought of it, no problem at all. But now, I no longer jump from sitting. I gradually grab anything I can grab and pull myself up the whole time moaning and groaning. My kids will testify to you about that. You know, I often think of the song, "The Old Gray Mare, She Ain't What She Used to Be." Well, guess what? The old gray-bearded pastor ain't what he used to be either. I'll tell you this. I liked it much better when the snap, crackle, and pop I heard in the morning came from my cereal and not from my knees. I liked it much better. But when those of us who know the Lord leave this life and go to that place called heaven, hallelujah, we're gonna get what is known as a glorified body. And what is a glorified body? A glorified body is a perfect body. If the glorified body was graded 1 to 10, it would be a perfect 10. And I can tell you right now, I'm excited about getting a glorified body. One day, when the rapture takes place, this body that grows old and weak will be changed. The Bible tells us that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to receive our glorified body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57, we read, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of Jesus Christ, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Listen, do you husbands ever get ready to go somewhere and you're ready to go, but your wife is still getting ready? And you call her, "Honey, come on, we're going to be late." And she says, "Just a minute, I'll be there." Now, I always thought that a minute was 60 seconds. But I've discovered that sometimes a minute can be 10 or 15 minutes. And I have to be honest about this. It's not usually my wife that's the problem with this. It's some of the kids that keep us sometimes from being on time. But that's a whole nother sermon in itself. That's a sermon for my living room, not for the church, I guess. But one of these days, the rapture is going to take place, and we are going to our eternal home, and we'll be on time. Even my kids will be on time. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That is, if our faith and our trust is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of our soul. In heaven, we get a new body. And we praise God for that, because if we're honest, we'd have to admit that living in this body is not so great sometimes. Our earthly body changes with age. It gets tired. It feels pain. It gets sick. It moves slower with age. Our eyes become dim. Our hearing becomes dull. Our hair and our teeth fall out. And we can do all we can to try to keep these bodies of ours from aging too quickly. But guess what? It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. You know, billions are spent every year to cover up, make up, lift up, and change the flaws in people's bodies. And I am not against that. You know, years ago, the old-time preachers used to preach against women wearing makeup. Oh, man, it was like that was some kind of mortal sin back in the old days. Preachers always preached against women wearing makeup. I'm not that way. I have the same philosophy about makeup that my grampy had when it came to my granny wearing makeup. Grampy used to say this. He'd say, a fresh coat of paint on an old barn is always an improvement. And now, I'll tell you this. If it seems that I am unusually happy today, it's simply because all week long I've been thinking about heaven as I've been preparing this message and how in heaven we won't have the problems that we have with these bodies anymore. I look forward to receiving my new body. Getting a new body is one reason that heaven is going to be a blast. But not only is the perfect body awaiting us there, but so is the perfect home. That's my second point this morning, the perfect home. Now, if you got your Bible open to John 14, look at this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, let me stop there and say this. That's a good verse to use right there to show that it's not enough just to believe in God. You've also got to believe in Jesus to be saved. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect house in this life. You may be very excited about moving into a brand new house, but after you're there, you can mark it down. There will eventually be plumbing problems, electrical problems, squeaky floors, doors jamming, appliances that need repairing. It'll be cold when it should be warm and warm when it should be cold, and there will be insects crawling around. But one of these days, as Christians, we're going to receive a perfect home. A perfect home. And I like the way that it's described here as mansions in heaven. You know, some of the modern Bible versions use the word room. You know what? I'm looking forward to a mansion. I'm not looking forward to just a room. I don't believe God is running some two-bit flop house. He's not running a Motel 6 up there. I'm looking forward to a mansion in heaven. A mansion in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that will be. The perfect home. The perfect home. As I said, in this life, there is no such thing as a perfect house. It doesn't matter if you get the best architect in town to design it, if you get the best builder to build it, if you use the best materials available, and if you meet every building code in the book, there is no such thing as a perfect house. But when we Christians go to our eternal home, we're going to live in a perfect home built by God. We're kind of like Abraham in that sense. In Hebrews 11:10, it says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. When we Christians go to our eternal home, we're going to live in a perfect home built by God. God. That's another reason why heaven is going to be a blast. But let me share with you another reason why heaven is going to be such a blast. We see the perfect body, the perfect home, and third, we're going to have the perfect neighbors. The perfect neighbors. When I was a child, my parents were not Christians. They did not become Christians till I was in my teens. But my granny, and some of you might even remember my granny made sure that my sister and I were in Sunday school on Sundays. And it was in Sunday school that I learned about these great men and women of the Bible. And from that time to this, I have always been excited about the fact that when we get to heaven, we'll be surrounded by some of the greatest people who ever walked on this earth. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, Joseph, David, Noah, Moses, Daniel. I'm looking forward to meeting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Peter, Paul, James, John, Timothy, Titus. We're going to be surrounded by some of the most fabulous neighbors you can imagine. I mean, let me ask you this. Who are the most famous people, or maybe the most famous person you've ever met? Ask that question. Some will name politicians. Some will name preachers, actors, singers, athletes. I had the opportunity to go furniture shopping with the king of Saudi Arabia. He wasn't the king at the time. He was the prince. His dad was the king. And I took him furniture shopping for a new palace that the company I worked for was building for him in Saudi Arabia. So I've met the king of Saudi Arabia. I have also met Senator Bob Dole. You remember Bob Dole, the famous senator who ran for president a bunch? I was at the U.S. Capitol, and he was coming down some stairs. I was walking in the hallway, and I literally bumped into Bob Dole and knocked him to the floor. Crash! Right to the floor, Bob Dole went down. And I helped him up, and he shook his hand, and we went on our way. But I had a crash meeting with Bob Dole one day at the U.S. Capitol. But when most folks talk about meeting these kind of people, you can look into their eyes and realize these were some of life's greatest moments for them. But my, heaven is going to be a blast because we're going to meet the greatest men and women of God who ever walked on this earth. And so we see the perfect body, the perfect home, the perfect neighbors. Number four, the perfect reunion. The perfect reunion. In this life, our families are scattered hundreds of miles apart. But we love our family members, so we have what is known as a family reunion when everyone can come together. But unfortunately, as Mary Jane sang this morning, there are many among our family and friends who've already gone on to heaven, and so they can't attend our reunion. Death has separated the family of God. But one day, because of what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary, in shedding his blood and dying for our sins and rising again the third day, because of that, one day, all of God's children, all who are true believers in Jesus, are going to be gathered in that wonderful place called heaven. Never to be separated again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm looking forward to being able to be with my loved ones once again. I love that old Southern gospel song. There's gonna be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Amen. We see the perfect body, the perfect home, the perfect neighbors, the perfect reunion. Number five, the perfect neighborhood. The perfect neighborhood. Does living in this world ever get you down? We see people who work hard for a living, and someone comes along and steals everything from them. We hear politicians making all kinds of promises, but once they get into the office, the only thing they're looking out for is themselves. We put confidence in people's words, and then we find out that they didn't mean a thing that they said. Life here on earth can be discouraging. This life can bring us many tears. But listen, listen to this description of heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And we read here where John is given a vision of heaven coming down from the sky. John tells us that the heavenly city is surrounded by high protective walls made of jasper, the foundations of which are made of precious stones. The city itself is made of pure gold and jasper. The 12 gates, symbolizing the city's access and openness, are constructed of 12 large pearls. It also has no need for the sun, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ provides all the illumination that we need. There is no more night nor darkness. Through the city flows the river of life, as clear as crystal, its source coming from the very throne of God. And along its banks grows the tree of life, yielding 12 different monthly fruits. It will be a perfect place to live. Creation which has suffered because of the fall will be restored. Heaven is going to be an incredible place. It's going to be a blast. Eyes have never seen, nor have ears ever heard of the great things God has prepared for his people. And so we see the perfect body, the perfect home, the perfect neighbors, the perfect reunion, the perfect neighborhood. Number six, the perfect freedom. The perfect freedom. Let me ask you this. Do you ever get aggravated with yourself? You have the best of intentions in life, but so often that's all they are. Good intentions. I want you to think about some of the things that Paul talked about as he wrestled with sin during his Christian life. He said in Romans 7:15, he said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In verse 21, I find then a new law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You ever feel like Paul? I know I do. I too find myself doing things I don't want to do and not doing the things I want to do. And this struggle is one more reason why heaven's going to be a blast to me. In heaven, this battle with sin is going to cease. I will never again feel the pain of letting God down. Never again. We will be free. Free from the power and presence of sin once and for all. And then finally, number 7, the perfect ending. Now, I mentioned this already, but in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if you like that verse, here's another one you'll like. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Notice now, for we shall see him as he is. One day, we're going to see him as he is, and that is what makes heaven, heaven. We will see Jesus. Oh yes, the streets of gold will be nice. The walls of jasper will be nice. The gates of pearl will be nice. The mansions will be nice. But they would all be absolutely meaningless if Jesus were not there. I long to see Jesus more than anything else, this one who loved me and gave himself for me. What a day that will be. From time to time, people will say to me, "Hey, Pastor, what's up?" And my response is always the same. My response is, "Heaven's up. I'm going someday. You coming with me?" And that's what I want to say to you this morning in closing. Heaven's up. I'm going someday. Are you coming with me? And I say that because you can go to heaven if you'll put your faith and your trust in Jesus to get you there. I quoted from John 14, that great passage where Jesus talks about the mansions that are being prepared for us up in the Father's house. But if you're familiar with that passage of Scripture, no sooner are those words out of Jesus' mouth than the Apostle Thomas speaks up. And he says, "Lord, how do we get there? How do we know the way?" And in response to that question, Jesus makes one of his most famous statements ever. And it's what I want to close with this morning. In response to the question, how can we get to heaven? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Heaven's up. I'm going someday. Are you coming with me? Are you coming with me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God this morning. and for the wonderful truths of heaven that we find in this blessed old book. And Lord, we rejoice in the knowledge that we can spend eternity in heaven with you one day if we'll just trust your Son as our Savior. And Lord, my prayer is that not a single person would leave this room without being absolutely sure that Jesus is their Savior and they are on their way to heaven. And for those of us who've taken the step of faith and called out to Christ and received him as Savior, Lord, help us to leave this place just rejoicing in the knowledge that we are on our way to see you. We look forward to that day, and we thank you for providing the way for us to be there. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.